Kirk Cousins, what has gotten into you, bro? Hey, you're looking unfamiliar out there in a very good way.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good peep. It's your boy Theo Dorsey coming off of a great, an excellent, excellent showing on Monday Night Football. Can't ask for anything any better. Thrilling ending, a game-winning touchdown drive, and it was by one of the least. Like, if any quarterback in the league, if I said this guy on primetime television with less than 2 minutes left, led his team on a touchdown drive when they needed a touchdown, not a field goal, but a touchdown, I don't think anybody would have raised their hands in the preseason and said that's going to be Kirk Cousins week two of the NFL season. It's your boy Theo Dorsey. I got my guy Damian Perez on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, making some stuff shake on a Tuesday afternoon. And Damian, how did you consume Monday Night Football? I did some Manning cast back to the regular broadcast. I actually was a little late getting in to watch Monday Night Football last night because I had an HOA meeting that ran a little bit long, but we got things solved. Some roofing happening in the community, so there were a lot of questions. Some budgeting happening in the community, so there were a lot of concerns. But we got things resolved just in time for me to get in the house about midway through the first quarter and watch, the Falcons and Eagles kind of play fight a little bit. The under hit, thank you. And then Kirk Cousins had that immaculate drive. How did you consume Monday Night Football?
I consumed it on my couch. On the regular stream over the Manning cast. I don't know if that's a bold take.
That's all good. I like main broadcast. I'm usually main broadcast, but the Manning cast is starting to grow on me.
I did flip onto the Manning cast. I saw that Matt Ryan was on there. Yeah. And it's his Falcons. So I did flip on there for a second. But for the most part, 80% of the game, I watched it on the main broadcast.
It was a good game.
Another surprise.
Right. Another surprise, because if you didn't see what happened last night, the Falcons get the win over the Eagles 22-21. Literally, the Eagles had the ball. The game was sealed. We're under the two-minute warning, right? The Eagles have the ball.
I think they had a 97% possibility of winning that game at that point.
It was wrapped up. And as somebody who had a ticket in on the Falcons, I was a little bit concerned. I was a little bit nervous. And they had a 3rd-and-3 on the Falcons' side of the field. The Falcons have no timeouts left, and you would assume the Eagles would, at the very least, try and make a play towards either getting that first down or getting close enough to where you can get the tush push, and then you get the first down on the next play. They try the play-action fake, Saquon Barkley off into the flat, and he infamously drops that football. The clock stops. They kick a field goal. The Eagles go up by 6. On the other side, Kirk Cousins now gets the ball with 1:39 to go.
No timeouts.
Kirk Cousins, no timeout, second game with the Atlanta Falcons. This is for Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator. He's a new play caller in the NFL. Raheem Morris, first-year head coach with the Atlanta Falcons, 1:39 to go against an Eagles defense that has names littered all throughout it. And Cousins was off the mark all night long. He missed so many throws, some on big downs, some on mundane parts of the field. But at that point, I literally tweeted out, nobody in that stadium at Lincoln Financial actually believes Kirk Cousins is going to lead the Falcons on a game-winning drive. And then Kirk Cousins led the Falcons on he went 5-for-6 for 70 yards, and in 1:05, he drove the Falcons all the way down the field, culminating in a beautiful ball to Drake London in the end zone. He routed up Darius Slay, and here's what it sounded like on the Monday Night Football broadcast on ESPN with Joe Buck.
Darnell Mooney one-on-one at the bottom. Cousins looks right, has a man! Touchdown, Drake London! And we are tied with the extra point to come.
Love that. Cut it right there. So then the extra point comes in. Obviously, they're tied up, right? They were down 6. They scored the touchdown. Drake London, his celebration, absolutely love it. Like, the celebration was amazing, but you can't actually, do air guns in a stadium, in a football stadium with a lot of people watching on primetime television. So the refs flagged him for that. And so you had a 48-yard extra point that Younghoe Koo had to nail in for the lead for the Falcons. He makes that. The Falcons go on to win that one 22-21. Kirk Cousins, don't blink. Don't look now. But Kirk Cousins, a guy who was much maligned for being somebody who fell short when the lights were bright, a guy who is often criticized for his inability to play big in big games, Kirk Cousins now has won four of his last five Monday Night Football games. Damian Perez, dare I say he's earned the moniker Primetime Kirk, and not for satirical reasons now.
Yeah, he absolutely flipped the scripts because the narrative with Cousins was that, like you said, he could not shine under the bright lights.
Couldn't do it.
But as he showed last night and in the previous five games, he can do it. And last night, it probably feels even better because there was a lot of criticism after his first game. There was a lot of question marks with his Achilles injury, and people were just doubting if he could actually do it and if it was Penix's time. So I feel like last night has to be one of the better ones in primetime for Cousins.
Whenever you corner a man, whenever you have a team with their backs against the wall in a must-win situation, which I do believe the Falcons were in, I think this was an underplayed scenario for the Atlanta Falcons. And Kirk Cousins on that drive, I believe he saved Atlanta's season by connecting so many times with Darnell Mooney and driving them down the field that quickly. Because if you look at the Falcons' schedule ahead, had it not been for Kirk Cousins darting them up, picking that defense apart, and getting the Falcons down the field and scoring that touchdown, next week, Atlanta's at home to none other than the two-time reigning defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, who are coming off of the worst game that they'll probably play all year against the Bengals, who are hungry to prove yet again that they are the dominant team in the NFL right now. So their next game would have been at home next weekend against the Chiefs. You could chalk that up as an L. Now we're talking about Raheem Morris starting off 0-3. Kirk Cousins, with all the questions around his Achilles, being a guy that now people are really starting to fade. The next game after that was going to be at home against the Saints, which in the preseason looks like a gimme game. But now 2 weeks in, after the Saints dominated the Dallas Cowboys, now that we have election year Derek Carr cooking, I don't know if y'all have heard or seen about that, but apparently every time it's an election year, Derek Carr gets in his MVP bag. 2 weeks into the season, who's the MVP right now? Likely Derek Carr. 2016, he had the same thing going with the Vegas Raiders until he got hurt. 2020, Derek Carr was on a tear, had one of the best years of his career and the highest QBR of his career in an election year. You're going to have to face election year Derek Carr after that. You could be talking about an 0-4 start, and then the week after that, you got Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers, who are also undefeated. Kirk Cousins didn't just save the day by winning that game last night on Monday Night Football. He might have just saved the Falcons' season, which is partially why I believed going into this game, those are two teams that are equally yoked, and there was one team that was more desperate than the other to get a win, and that was the Atlanta Falcons, and that's the way they played down the stretch. They got the victory in this one. But I leave with this question following the Falcons' win last night on primetime with Kirk Cousins. Was this win, does it give me more confidence about the Atlanta Falcons? Am I more impressed with their play, or am I more concerned with the Philadelphia Eagles? Who, on the other side of this, that defense in that final drive was absolutely horrendous. That was playing scared. That was playing with your tail tucked between your legs. That was, I hope he doesn't burn us. And forgive me for asking this, but why the hell are you that nervous about Kirk Cousins? They gave him everything he wanted with all of that soft coverage. And it doesn't take an idiot like me, Theo Dorsey, here on Theoretically Speaking, to point that out. How about you go to a guy that, you know, in Rob Gronkowski, who was on Up and Adams today, who has experienced teams actually feeling threatened by a guy like Tom Brady and having to sit back in those shells and hoping not to get beat. He picked apart how bad the Eagles' defense was on that final drive.
Here's the problem, you know, whenever, you know, there's a final drive in the game, these defenses always go in this prevent mode where the safeties play so far back so they don't get burned. But they weren't getting burned all game, so what are you worried about? And then they go in that prevent defense. And how many times do you see an offense just march down the field, hit the check down for 5 yards, and they go for 15 more? They find that open hole for a 20-yard pass, and then all of a sudden, four plays into it, they're in the red zone. That prevent defense is the worst defense ever created in the history of football.
Rob's not wrong.
Yeah.
Rob's not wrong there. And here's the thing, Damian, too. The Eagles were shutting the Falcons offense down for the most of the night. The thing that was working was Bijan Robinson, who, by the way, looks so good. The cuts, when Bijan Robinson plants his foot in the ground, and you saw a lot of the same stuff for Saquon Barkley on the other side. When he plants, when he sticks that foot in the ground and goes the other way, I sometimes fall out of my chair on my own couch.
It looked like, I don't know if you saw Baker Mayfield against the Lions.
Ooh,
the one when he stepped on that on the ground, like you said, and bodies just dropped to the floor.
Just dropped.
That's kind of what that looked like. Like you said, Bijan looked amazing, but I don't know if the Eagles were stopping them last night. They were stopping them when they got into the red zone. But in the first, I want to say, three possessions that the Falcons had, they scored three field goals on those possessions.
But they're not that quick, right? Like it wasn't chunk plays at all. It was them methodically moving the ball down the field. And it was Bijan Robinson, 14 carries, 97 yards. He averaged just under 9 yards per carry. The Falcons were not moving the ball consistently that quickly, at least, on the Eagles. And they only were able to do so once the Eagles dropped back into that prevent defense coverage that Rob Gronkowski talked about. So when you pair the fact that the Eagles played with their tails tucked between their legs at home in primetime against Kirk Cousins and got beat because of it, when you also pair that with the fact that their saving grace, their best player, it looks like this year so far, Saquon Barkley, dropped that 3rd-and-3 call where Sirianni and the staff trusted him to be a sure-handed running back, one of the best pass-catching backs we have in the league. Hey, you go out in that flat route, you pick up that catch, you likely can run in for a touchdown. At the very least, you get a first down, the game is over, right? So a risky play call, but then also a failure to execute. You pair that with the offseason stories around the Eagles and all of the infighting, the level of distrust and lack of motivation that Nick Sirianni instills in that Eagles squad, specifically their head coach relationship with their quarterback, Jalen Hurts. I'm way more concerned with the Philadelphia Eagles following Monday Night Football than I am impressed with the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons went in there and did what they had to do. As a desperate team that had no option but to pick up a win because they could not start their season 0-3, they did what they had to do. Kirk Cousins, good stuff. Amazing, right? What we did find out is that was his 6th game-winning touchdown pass with under 2 minutes to go in either regulation or overtime since 2015. Only one other quarterback has more. Like, Kirk Cousins actually has done this time and time again. We just don't see it as much or give enough credit to it because it's Kirk Cousins. And he probably often has more times when he's missing on some of those drives. But on the other side, the Eagles were in prime position to go 2-0 following a disastrous Cowboys effort. The Commanders are not going to be a contender this year. You don't think anything is coming out of the Giants either. They were going to be able to put themselves in pole position to walk away with this division with the elite amount of confidence around the Saquon Barkley addition and even their pass catchers not named A.J. Brown because A.J. Brown was out last night. I'm concerned with the Eagles. It wasn't like a thing where it's like, oh, it's an Eagles loss versus a Falcons win. No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying due to the results of this game, I'm more concerned with the Eagles than I am impressed with the Atlanta Falcons. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call in. So theoretically speaking here, are you more concerned with the Eagles following the Monday Night Football result? Or are you more impressed with Kirk Cousins turning things around with the Atlanta Falcons? 888-760-3776. Or you can hit us up in the chat at Theo Speaking on YouTube. Our YouTube stream is brought to you by Prize Picks, which, by the way, Kirk Cousins didn't just beat the Eagles on that last drive. He also took down my Prize Picks lineup because I had less passing yards for both Jalen Hurts and for Kirk Cousins. It was going to bang. It was going to be perfect until the Eagles got in that prevent defense and let Kirk Cousins pick them apart. Are you more impressed with the Atlanta Falcons or more concerned with the Philadelphia Eagles like myself? 888-760-3776. Call in the Theoretically Speaking. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call in. Eagles fans, I have some bad news for you. I am definitely more concerned that, with your team, your ability to bounce back from a primetime loss like that, than I am impressed with the Atlanta Falcons. We have Jalen in the chat saying, Kirko, shouting out the Kirko chains. Or whatever the hell they want to call Kirk Cousins these days. It's just, again, he'll give you these in the regular season. Wait till we get to the playoffs. I told Falcons fans, too, ahead of this year, I believe in the Falcons' ability to lock up the NFC South. I believe in the Falcons' ability to look like a strong contender in the NFC. But you're always going to have number 18 at quarterback. You're always going to have to rely on Kirk Cousins down the stretch in playoff games. In playoff games. And that's when I'll be triggered to at least change my opinion on Kirk Cousins. Very good quarterback. Not the guy you want to have in a playoff setting, especially when you start playing against some of those top-notch squads with great coaching like the Packers. And you would think if the Eagles could get their stuff together and have better coaching, maybe the Eagles. 888-760-3776. More impressed with the Falcons or more concerned with the Eagles? That's the number to call into, Theoretically Speaking. We have Joe in Jupiter. Joe's on Theoretically Speaking. Joe, it's got to be a good Tuesday for you seeing the Eagles go down in primetime, huh?
Loved it. Disgusted as I was from what happened on Sunday, just getting destroyed, that made it a better second day.
Joe and Jupiter, a Cowboys fan, which is absolutely why he likes seeing the Eagles lose and is sad about Sunday. But what do you think, though? More concerned about the Eagles or more impressed with what the Falcons were able to do?
I'm impressed with the Falcons. They got good coaching. They got Bijan Robinson. I saw him at Texas. I was hoping the Cowboys could come out and somehow come up to get him. Because look at our running game. It's nothing. I could run as much yards as the Cowboys are doing right now, I think. And he's showing – last year they didn't use him like he showed in Texas. And Kirk Cousins is no joke. You know, they've got studs all over the place. So, I mean, I'm more impressed with them than the Eagles. The Eagles fell apart last year, and maybe hopefully it's showing after week two.
Yeah.
And then as far as the Cowboys go, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago. I'm close. I tell you what, I'm close. You know, we have lost by 95. The last two home games in Dallas, they've scored 95 something points against us, if you include the Green Bay game and then on Sunday. It was an exact replica of us losing in Green Bay or to Green Bay last year in the playoff game. So, you know, I don't feel any different, but just keep me from falling off the ledge, Theo. I know you can do it.
I got you.
I'm still hanging.
Joe, I got you. We ain't letting you go over that ledge. Not today, not this year, Joe. Appreciate you calling in Tuesday. And again, I do thank him for keeping it G. Like, yeah, he's more impressed with the Falcons than he is concerned with the Eagles, because maybe we do know who the Eagles are at this point. Joe, a great character. I'm going to be happy for him when those Cowboys finally give him the validation for these long years of suffering, enduring, and cheering for them boys out in Arlington. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to tap into, Theoretically Speaking. Are you more impressed with what Kirk Cousins did for the Atlanta Falcons in that win? Or are you more concerned with the Eagles? We got Kenny in Houston. Kenny's on, Theoretically Speaking. Coming off of a huge game like that, you didn't know Kirk Cousins had that in him, huh? Like, are you more impressed with him or are you more concerned with how the Eagles handled it?
I'm going to be honest. I definitely did not know you know, what Kirk Cousins had going. But I'm more concerned with the Eagles based off of the moves that they made in the offseason. And, you know, I like Saquon, and I'm definitely a fan of Hurts. And so I was thinking that this was going to be a movement. You know, it was going to be a position that they put themselves in to be an advantage. And you know, you can't come up short with the Falcons. So I'm definitely more concerned with the Eagles in this specific scenario.
Yeah. Right. No, I appreciate that. That's good insight right there, and appreciate the call. See, what Kenny is saying there is we expected to see something different out of the Eagles. And you expected to see something that felt more like a unstoppable force from the Eagles. They go and get Saquon Barkley in the offseason. We saw him in week one against the Packers, and it looked like, oh, my God, the train is rolling. Who's going to be able to stop it? And then you have a game against the Falcons of all teams, the Atlanta Falcons of all teams, which seems like one of those franchises that always gets in their own way. Obviously, we had the 28-3 jokes about the Falcons going all through the night because of Matt Ryan being on the Manning cast. And again, just hashtag Falcons, right? Hashtag Dirty Birds. When they're around, the jokes will come flying out. But Kenny's like, yo, Saquon Barkley was in position right there for you to seal the deal, to end the game. And what did he do? He dropped the ball, and it's not he took accountability for it. He said, hey, I let my team down. You know, he catches that ball. Even if he doesn't get the first down, that game is likely over with. But same old Eagles. That's what I say, and that's what Kenny's saying to you today as well on Theoretically Speaking. Same old Eagles. That's why I'm more concerned with the Philadelphia Eagles and their ability to bounce back from this than I am with how impressed I am with the Falcons. Falcons are going to win the NFC South. Don't get too hyped up and start drinking the Kool-Aid for the Saints because of their first two games. The Falcons are still going to win the NFC South. The Eagles, now, it comes into question, can they be the team that comes out of the NFC East as the division champs? These are the same old Eagles. Two new coordinators. Sirianni had nothing to do with hiring. In four of their last seven losses for Philadelphia, take note of this, for real. Because if you're a playoff team, if you're a real contender in the NFL, you win the close games, especially those that are prime time. In four of the last seven losses for the Eagles, they have led with under 2 minutes to go. Four out of the last seven losses, they led with under 2 minutes to go. The Philadelphia Eagles, the team that was in the Super Bowl not 20 months ago, facing off against Patrick Mahomes, a couple of plays away from winning, that team. Four of the last seven losses, they led with under 2 minutes to go. They are now 2-7 in their last nine games. That's going back to last season. Remember when they fell off at the end of last season, then they lose again in the playoffs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield. And now they start off the season. You get the win against the Packers. And on Monday Night Football, leading at the end of the game, poor decision-making, just excruciating execution, and you lose yet again on the big stage. They've lost two of their last seven. They are extremely underwhelming when it comes to what you expected to see with that powerful offensive line and Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts and what we actually saw out there on the field. I would be concerned if I'm an Eagles fan. I would more so be even more so concerned if I'm a decision maker in that front office because I don't think they have the right guy at head coach. And I'm not out here calling for the dude's job. He's literally led the squad to the playoffs three straight years. Likely it'll be the fourth year. They'll at least get a wild card if they don't win the NFC East. It just doesn't feel like, especially with the stories we had this offseason, with the way in which players respond to him, it doesn't feel like that's going to be the guy that brings the Eagles to where they actually want to go. It's going to be reliant on the coordinators like he had the year they went to the Super Bowl, and then both of those coordinators went off and got better jobs as head coaches, and one of them leading the Cardinals right now with a big win over the Rams over the weekend, and the other one, Shane Steichen, had a lot of success with the Colts and Anthony Richardson, and we expect good things from them. Don't see much coming out of the Nick Sirianni camp. Damian Perez, man, this is a great Tuesday right here because we also got our guy Mike Tannenbaum pulling up on us. He'll be able to express some of his football wisdom on what he saw from last night, who he's more impressed with or concerned with, as well as we'll get him to give us his out of the 0-2 teams in the league, and there's a lot of them, some pretty good ones as well. We'll see which teams Mike Tannenbaum actually does believe you can write off versus the ones he believes still have a really good shot to make the playoffs. It's going to be a fun Tuesday here. We always have Mike T pull up on a Tuesday on Theoretically Speaking. If you're going to lose big games like that, you're going to put yourself in position to where you're not going to be competing for championships. But a program that we know in this area that's always competed for championships, no matter the sport, is Kaiser University. And tap in on this right here, especially if you're in Palm Beach County or the Treasure Coast area. Champions are all over that flagship campus of Kaiser, including the defending national champion Kaiser Seahawks football team. So how about you do this? Come and watch those Seahawks in their home opener. It's this Saturday against Fort Lauderdale. A little South Florida on South Florida action. Got kickoff at 6 p.m. Tickets available starting at just $8. An $8 Saturday evening to watch the national champions play. Go to KUSeahawks.com. The ESPN West Palm Street team is going to be out there at Kaiser beginning at 3:30. They'll get the ball rolling. And the ESPN 106.3 station, which we're on right now, is the flagship home for the NAIA champions. We're going to have all the action beginning at 5:30 p.m. If you're not able to be in the house, tap in on ESPN 106.3. Listen to the Seahawks start their title defense off at home. They've already got a couple of wins on the season. It's Kaiser's home opener, your first of four opportunities to see the Seahawks in person on the flagship campus of Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. And again, it's this Saturday against Fort Lauderdale. Get your tickets now at KUSeahawks.com. On the other side, we have our guy, Mike T. He's going to pull up. He's going to tell us what we should expect, what we should know, what's the biggest things to take away from the first 2 weeks of the NFL. That's Damian Perez. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Man, we got not even thinly veiled. We got actual threats being tossed back and forth from unsportsmanlike host Evan Cohen. And then for his threats to be directed towards my guys here, my teammates here at ESPN West Palm, Colin Russo and Mike Rizzo on Russo and Rizzo, which starts at 4 o'clock every day. I don't know, man. I'm starting to feel like I might need to have my guys' backs a little bit. I don't want to be on the other side of that phone call that Evan makes maybe as well, though. That's it's a little scary, Damian. Did you hear the Evan Cohen threat in the break there?
I did. And I love that rivalry that's brewing because ever since Colin and Russo came, they've kind of been throwing shots at Evan. So I love this rivalry that's brewing.
You're right. I'm glad you did Freudian slip and say Colin and Russo because it's mostly been Colin Russo throwing the shots, whereas Mike Rizzo's been trying to stay out of the way.
He's been trying to put out the fires that Colin starts. I do agree with that.
Yes. He is he's a bit more wise for that, whereas Colin is taking shots. He's a young pup. He's getting after him. He's a dog. Also a guy who's a dog who literally his football takes – He brings them like pots of gold at the end of the rainbow, at the end of every single NFL week for us. And we just wrapped up week two. So now we bring in NFL insider, former general manager of the Jets and boss of the Dolphins, Mike Tannenbaum, on a Tuesday. How you feeling off after that big Monday Night Football and a great week too, Mike T?
Yeah, guys, what an unbelievable week, right? Detroit losing at home, Baltimore losing at home, Dallas losing at home, and then Philadelphia losing at home. It was an unbelievable week of football for in week two.
I say I'm more concerned with the Eagles than I am impressed with the Falcons after last night, mostly because of all of the offseason chatter, the fact that they've now lost two of their last nine, or they're 2-7 in their last nine games. And as great as it was to see Kirk Cousins do that for the Falcons, I felt like that was a team more desperate for a win, whereas now the Eagles have a little bit more dissension, a little bit more maybe questioning of the head coach. Do you leave that game more impressed with the Falcons or more concerned for the Eagles' bounce back?
Yeah, I'm actually concerned about both teams. I just don't think Atlanta's well constructed. Look, give them credit. They won a game that was absolutely improbable. I mean, if Saquon Barkley holds on to the ball or they run the ball, you know, the game's essentially over. I just don't see Atlanta being able to rush the passer. And for, you know, the Eagles, you know, Bryce Huff hasn't played well. I think they're going to get better, though. There's Cooper Jeudine, Quinion Mitchell, you know, they're young rookies. I think they'll get better. But defensively, I did think the Eagles would have played better than they have so far.
What about the running back play last night? Like, I know there's been this devaluation of running backs, And then you watch a game like last night, whereas aside from the Saquon Barkley drop, he looked amazing behind that Eagles offensive line. And then on the other side, you have the future in Bijan Robinson, who with every cut, I feel like I'm getting juked out of my shoes in my own living room. Like, how much do these kind of guys give you faith that the running back position does have these studs that actually matter to moving the ball and moving the sticks for offenses?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And I called the game for ESPN Radio on Sunday in Green Bay with Steve Levy. And Josh Jacobs was their offense. Malik Willis made a couple of plays as the game went along. But, you know, no Jordan Love, and they were able to hold serve. So I think there's definitely a place for running backs. And, you know, if Saquon didn't drop that ball, you know, the discussion we'd be having today is totally different.
Absolutely different. But he did. He did drop the ball. And Kirk Cousins did execute that last minute drive, and the Falcons came out on top on Monday Night Football, which avoided them from being in the group of teams that are 0-2, and that's where you come in here, Mike T, because we have nine squads, 9 teams in the NFL who look themselves in the mirror, and you are what your record says you are. They are 0-2. When I look at these squads, you have the Ravens, the Bengals, the Colts, the Jags, the Broncos, the Giants, the Titans, the Panthers, and the Rams. I could already circle the Broncos, Giants, and Titans, and Panthers and say I don't expect those teams to be playoff teams this year. Is there anybody I'm missing from this group of teams that started off 0-2 that we can already write off? And I know the Colts and the Jags might be in your spotlight there.
Yeah, I would go with the Colts right now. Look, I just watched them, and DeForest Buckner may be out. Leitu Latu, I think, is going to be out, the first defensive player. They're really struggling on defense. You know, the other weird team we would have to bring into this discussion, guys, unfortunately, is the Rams. Mm. I can't remember the last time a team is as beat up as they are. They're going to be missing four offensive linemen. Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are both going to be out. So their team, to me, that's, guys, I think they're absolutely devastated by injury. So that's another team I'd lump into that conversation.
I think also, did we underestimate, Mike T, the departure of maybe the greatest defensive player we've ever seen, at least the greatest of this generation, of Aaron Donald, and to how bad the Rams defense would actually look without him? Because that's something that gets downplayed or not talked about enough as well. With all of the injuries that they're suffering from, they also lost a guy that was, again, an all-time guy on that defensive front.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And, you know, not only was the production that he created, but the production he created for others by getting so many, you know, double teams. And they, you know, went out, drafted a number of young players. I really like Brandon Fisk from Florida State, Jared Verse from Florida State. It just, I think defensively they'll come along, but I just don't know how they're going to score points consistently.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on ESPN 106.3, theoretically speaking, on a Tuesday in his natural spot. I also now look at the AFC North. When I was coming into this season, I said this is the most interesting division in football. They'll have the Hard Knocks in season, which I absolutely love because the storylines throughout all of these teams are going to be great. The Ravens and Bengals both did not expect to be 0-2 at this point. Not just because they played against a really good team in the Chiefs, that similar loss, but also the Ravens had the loss against the Raiders and the Bengals fell to the New England Patriots. Of those two squads in the AFC North, which one are you also most concerned with being able to bounce back and compete for that division?
Yeah, you know, look, we've seen for years, right, since I get off the slow start. So I think we've seen a track record of them coming back. You know, Baltimore has three new offensive linemen. They just have looked out of sorts. They're a talented team, but I think Cincinnati is still going to win that division.
So you got the Bengals still winning the division. What, did anything out of Sunday at Arrowhead fortify that for you? Patrick Mahomes kind of looked out of sorts. He threw two really uncharacteristic interceptions. And then also on the Bengals' offensive side of things, it seems like they have some weapons, some receivers and tight ends that are popping for them. What stood out the most that gives you confidence for them?
I thought the way Burrow threw the ball, guys, I thought it was much better than the first week. You have good velocity, good anticipation. So, you know, he's coming off of a very unusual injury for a quarterback in his wrist. And, you know, you see him flexing on the sidelines and all, but I thought he threw it much better week two than week one.
Mike T joining us here on ESPN 106.3. The day after we find out Bryce Young is being benched by the Carolina Panthers, 2 weeks in to his second year. What have you seen out of Bryce Young that lets you know this is the right decision? And also, timing-wise, How much do you think the owner was actually involved in this and Dave Tepper? Because that's what everybody's trying to discern right now, as it seems like an abrupt decision they came to.
Yeah, hopefully Tepper wasn't involved. Look, Bryce Young hasn't played well. This is not a death sentence by any stretch. You know, we've seen guys like Vinny Testaverde, Baker Mayfield more recently play well when they've got to different teams after, you know, a really bumpy start. So, you know, he's small. He's a good offensive line. They try to fortify it. And I don't think he's seen the field really well. A couple of critical interceptions. You could actually say last year maybe he played a little bit better. He has a young head coach who has a lot of energy, good track record with quarterbacks. But, you know, there's growing pains for him too. So if I was talking to Bryce Young guys, I'd say, hey, look, it's been a bump in the road. But, you know, let's just get ready. Keep working on your craft because you will get another chance at some point.
Let's just say you're GM of the Panthers and the Dolphins knock on your door. You say third round pick for Bryce Young right now, 2025 third rounder. What would you say?
Oh, boy. You know, you'd have to consider it, but now you have to say yourself, like, do we feel great about Shedeur Sanders or Quinn Ewers in terms of who could be the first pick next year, Carson Beck? Mm. And again, there's no sure thing. But look, based on how he's played, I think I consider all options.
That's what I've been assuming. I don't know if there's any way in which we see him reclaiming his career in Carolina. I would love to see what happens to him in the next team. And a lot of people are saying it's a size thing. For you as a GM, what were your like non-negotiables when it came to quarterbacks? Because a lot of people wouldn't even take a risk on a guy of Bryce Young's size. Do you feel like that's factoring into his ability to play in the Football League? And also, when you were scouting out and picking which quarterbacks you wanted on your teams, what were some things you looked at and said, you know what, we're not getting that guy because of this thing on his scouting report?
Yeah, accuracy. You know, if you can't consistently throw it accurately, and I'm not just talking about a completion, but where a player can make a play with the ball, it's hard to have sustained success. Then you want things like size, ability to learn, instincts, anticipation. But to me, if you don't have the baseline accuracy, nothing else matters.
Got you. So you wouldn't have been scared off by Bryce Young's size?
It would have been a concern. Look, I kind of drank the Kool-Aid like everybody else. You know, when you think about Theo, like guys like Steph Curry or Drew Brees, like undersized guys that have had great careers, I thought he would have a chance because of like his movement was so unique and so productive.
Got you. That's kind of how I felt as well, but now it is very concerning for anybody that had faith in him, specifically the Panthers, who leveraged everything to go and get him. I'll leave you with this. Speaking of the deal that they made to get Bryce Young, you've seen a lot of transactions. You've been part of a lot of transactions. Are we already looking at, dead in the eye, maybe the worst trade in NFL history, what they did to go get Bryce Young based off of what they gave up, what other teams got with those assets, as well as what Bryce Young has done for them just a year and a couple of games in?
Yeah, it's really up there. Now, look, you're going to have to look at that Deshaun Watson trade,
ooh,
you know, because you can't imagine that Cleveland's feeling great about that right now. So there's, you know, two quarterbacks there that could be in that discussion between, you know, Watson and Young. But again, they're young. You know, think about Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith that have gone out and played good football in other spots. So we just got to keep that in mind as well.
That is absolutely pertinent. That is an overreaction to jump to that conclusion that it's the worst, but it sure does smell like it, feel like it, look like it. Mike T, enjoy the rest of your week. Appreciate you pulling up on us. And also, hopefully the Jets smart enough and finally get a deal done for that guy, Hassan Reddick, because they also could use some help in the pass rush. I meant to ask you about that thing, but I feel like now they're backed into a corner more because they lost another pass rusher as well, right?
Totally. And obviously Hassan Reddick knows that as well.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hassan Reddick is well aware of that. Appreciate you again for your time, Mike T. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, thank you.
That's Mike Tannenbaum. His appearance is always courtesy of Eisner Amper, and he came in and delivered the football knowledge there. I don't see a world in which we do feel confident about Bryce Young as long as he's in a Panthers jersey, and it's because of the owner there. It's also because of the situation he's already dealt with in Carolina. He's going to need a change of scenery. I just do wonder what his draft capital, what it would take to get him away from the Panthers. Because there's also that confirmation bias, and you don't want to be the GM that did all of that to get a guy and then gave him away for so little. The 49ers did it with Trey Lance because they also got Mr. Irrelevant and Brock Purdy, who they now feel can be their franchise quarterback. The Panthers don't even have that answer yet. It's going to be hard for them to part ways with Bryce Young if it's not for something probably as high as a second rounder right now. But who in their right mind is going to be giving that up to go and get him? In the chat, we say from an Eagles fan here, it looks like Micah, an Eagles fan, says he's not worried about the Eagles because their best player, A.J. Brown, didn't play. That's something to factor in. A.J. Brown not being on the field, a huge, huge hit for the Eagles. And then also, Damian, you just sent me this, a report from Pro Football Talk. They said that Jalen Carter got benched. Jalen Carter was benched for yesterday's game due to being late for a team event last week. Nick Sirianni's got a lot to figure out. I'm much more concerned with the Eagles than I am impressed by the Falcons. And it's all based around what we've seen from the Eagles in the past. The trend that is starting out there in Philadelphia of them losing games, tight games, games that they've led late, as well as games that they should win, and to do that at home in primetime against Kirk Cousins, who literally doesn't have the rhythm of that offense yet, it is telling about what your season can look like when you start playing contenders. 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. We're still taking your calls. Are you more impressed with the Falcons? Are you more concerned with the Philadelphia Eagles? I'm not concerned about what it's going to be like coming up soon in Boca Raton, because this will be my third, this is my fourth time. It'll be my fourth time being at the Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group. And if you haven't been to one of these before, pull up on me, please. Pull up on me. It's going to be Tuesday, October 15th. Mark it down in your calendar. It's about a month from now. Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join myself and the squad at Brick in Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. The food is delectable. The drinks, even better. I'll be hosting those, so I got to wait till I get off the mic to enjoy them with you, but we'll toast. We'll toast. Tickets are on sale right now. It also includes food samplings, entertainment, the beer, the wine, the cocktails, and soft drinks. Tickets on sale right now. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets today. Pull up on me and the crew. It is going to be a heck of a time. That's going to be a good ball. And that always, always leads up into a great Boca Raton Bowl game as well. The greatest annual outdoor party in Boca Raton. So you're not going to want to miss either of those events. Make sure you're locked in with us and the crew. We do have one situation in the NFL that needs some tending to. I hate to be the guy that says I told you so. I said it in the preseason, I said it during the summer, and I said it after week one of the football season. I am being vindicated by what's happening out of this undefeated team in the AFC. They're making me look like a genius. I tell you before things happen, and then I remind you that I told you right here on Theoretically Speaking. Me and Damian Perez coming right back to you on ESPN 106.3. Stick around.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Clearly, I should have listened. That's what a Panthers fan messaged me literally yesterday, following me saying, I tried to tell y'all years ago, in the wake of the Bryce Young news, he says he's jumping ship. He can't take it either. I was ahead of the curve. I was, you can see these things. And sometimes when you're closer to it, I did cover sports in North Carolina for a year. I was a Panthers fan for a while. I saw what Dave Tepper was doing to that organization and franchise. And I said, I want no parts. I can't do it with this guy around. If he does another one thing, if he puts that straw on the back of that camel, I'm out. And he did. And I'm gone. And I'm glad for it. And I'm glad that my brother is freeing himself too. One of the best places to be able to, you know, and again, free is the operative word there because it's a free entry. But every time you go to one of these places, you get 80 or more televisions every time you pull up. So it's free to pull up. And then you get to enjoy some great food. You get 2-for-1 drinks every day. And you already know what I'm talking about at this point. Duffy's Sports Grill is the place to be if you're ready to lock in on football season. Doesn't matter today. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Heck, go during the week. They got other outings and events going on that you can watch as well. And while you're there, you can enjoy a full starting lineup of new features for football season, including house-made fried pickles, smoked fish dip, gridiron nachos, crispy fried green beans, and loaded and barbecue pigskins. Loaded and barbecue. Pretty good. Get all of those paired with Duffy's 2-for-1 drinks, and you're having yourself a heck of a day. Visit DuffysMVP.com to learn more, become a rewards member, become an MVP like me. And you can remember, as always, at Duffy's, our game is always on. Damian, this is not a revelation to sit here in front of you today and say, hey, there's some franchises in the NFL that are operated poorly and others that are strong from top to bottom, right? And how do you feel, where do you feel your Dolphins stack up when it comes to strongly ran organizations in the NFL? Are they good or bad on that accord?
I think we're a good, a well-ran organization. Yeah. You know, Stephen Ross, he got voted the number one GM by the players themselves. Owner. We got Mike McDaniels, who has absolutely changed the culture in Miami. I would say the Miami Dolphins are a well-run franchise.
I would say as well, man. That's something you really can't take for granted. And you really don't understand how good you have it until you talk to a fan of a fan base or of a team that is abysmal, that is down in the dumps, that is disorganized, that is ran by David Tepper. So there you have it. How about we jump on the safe bound get around? There's one team in there specifically that is run like a smooth sailing ship every single year, and I can't wait to talk about the latest decision from them out in the AFC. So it's time for the safe bound get around. I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round. I get around. On the safe bound get around, we hit the top topics of the day from across the nation, and we do so as we strap up our seatbelt and do it safely because you're safe with safe bound. On the safe bound get around.
Next stop.
Oxford, Mississippi.
Oof.
Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin says Wake Forest violated an unwritten rule by buying its way out of next year's matchup.
I don't care because Lane Kiffin ain't going to be there anyway. He sees that job in the swamp is going to be open. He sees those Gators in despair. And Lane Kiffin also looks around and sees, hey, I might be bigger than this town. Oxford, Mississippi. How about Gainesville, Florida? How about a place like Central Florida that has seen national championships before, that has seen elite coaches recruit at an incredible level? But Billy Napier, he still got guys there. He might not be so good at winning football games for the Gators, but he got guys there. Imagine a guy like Lane Kiffin on the sidelines leading the Lane train in Gainesville. As a Canes fan, I would be afraid of that. Nothing about Billy Napier strikes fear in me. Nothing about Dan Mullen made me worried at all for the future. If they went and got Lane Kiffin, sheesh. I mean, that would be a problem.
Next stop.
Georgia. Schools in Georgia have legal cover to immediately begin paying their athletes directly, according to an executive order signed by state governor Tuesday morning.
This is a problem for South Florida athletes. This is a problem for South Florida coaches. As a person that covers high school extensively, as a person that also spent 4 years covering the South Georgia area for WALB when it comes to high school football and athletics in general, we're going to lose kids to Georgia if they're able to be not only paid NIL here and there, but also paid directly by schools. We're also always continuously losing coaches there because they pay coaches better. If you invest in amateur athletics in your area, you will be better for it. The pipeline will grow even more robust. You'll get better coaching, better mentors in these young student athletes' lives, as well as you'll get more well-coached up athletes to go off into the world. And even if they don't succeed at their sport, they'll be good members of the community. Maybe they go off and become a pro and be like Lamar Jackson and come back and give back. Now your city is being enriched because the kid that you invested in is doing well. Florida's got to keep up with Georgia. If not, you're going to keep losing guys to Georgia. You know where Travis Hunter's from?
Enlighten me.
Travis Hunter's from West Palm Beach.
Get out.
Travis Hunter's from West Palm Beach, transferred out of Florida to Georgia. And I wasn't NIL induced. There were other things involving that. But Travis Hunter is a South Florida, Palm Beach County kid who is credited for being from Georgia because that's where he played his high school ball. We're going to have more and more stories like that if Florida, the Sunshine State, doesn't keep up with the state of Georgia. And also, we've been losing coaches at the high school level, and good ones at that, rapidly to the Peach State. Wake up.
Next stop,
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mike Tomlin told reporters today the Steelers are preparing for Justin Fields to start a third straight game. Steelers play the Chargers at home on Sunday.
I told y'all it would happen, and now it's happening. Justin Fields is not letting go of that job. Arthur Smith knows what he's doing with a dual threat quarterback like that. They're not going to put him in positions to fail, only positions to not hurt himself. And when I say hurt himself, I mean not have to be relied on in a way where he's throwing terrible passes, throwing ill-advised passes, or in a position where he has to make too many decisions. I don't see a world in which, unless Fields gets hurt, that Russell Wilson plays a down for the Steelers. Justin Fields has this job. The Steelers are 2-0, and if they find a way to beat the Chargers on Sunday, which is going to be a battle of, it's going to look like a 1973 game. Two coaches trying to keep the ball on the ground, trying to out-physical you. Two good enough defenses, at least the Chargers are good enough. The Steelers are elite. And running games that are going to be very impactful. I can't wait to see how that game turns out. One of those teams are going to walk away 2-0, or 3-0, excuse me. And I think it'll end up being the Steelers based on what Justin Fields has ahead of
him. Next stop,
Planet Earth. Circa Survivor Pool has the largest percentage of people eliminated through 2 weeks of any NFL season, with more than 70% gone.
Stop believing in the AFC North teams, right? That's your problem. Week one, you bet on the Bengals and Joe Burrow. He was too busy in this offseason trying to look like in sync instead of being in sync with his receivers. And then in week two, the Ravens fall to the Raiders. No excuse for that. Absolutely no excuse for that. Stop betting on AFC North teams. This is incredible what's happening. And whatever you got week three, if you are still in the survivor pool, stay the hell away from NFC North. AFC North.
Next stop,
Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right.
The Carolina Panthers head coach Dave Canales has asked if the team's owner David Tepper had anything to do with the decision to bench Bryce Young.
I want to keep that private. What I would like to say, though, is this is something after I watched the film, I looked at it, had a thought, started working on talking to the guys that we make decisions with. Certainly a lot of parties involved there. And ultimately this comes on me, and my number one responsibility is to help the Panthers win. And so this move, I believe, puts us in the best chance to do that this week.
Dave.
You know what that means, Damian? That means that, yes, David Tepper had a lot to do with that decision.
He just didn't want to admit it.
He said, I plan to keep that private. He said a lot of parties were involved in the decision-making to bench Bryce Young.
There you go.
How many parties are above the head coach when it comes to those kind of decisions? There's two. There's the GM, and then there's the owner. Not only did David Tepper probably have something to do with this, he probably asked his wife for advice on it as well. He's going to run that franchise into the ground, man. It is ugly for the Carolina Panthers. Since he stepped foot into that organization, he's been nothing but detrimental to the progress of that franchise and their players. Everybody that leaves Carolina instantly gets better and instantly goes into a better position. Sticking with that. Damian Perez and myself, Theo Dorsey, on the other side, we got the happy hour with Tina. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.